Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jacobin. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
You choir, musicians, let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 1. I do pray that you have if I don't tell you at the end of the service, I do pray that you have a wonderful Christmas. I pray that you have opportunities to be with family and to celebrate. Thankful for the choir reminding us of why Christ came and the beauty of why we can and what we can share with people. I pray that it's a season of wonderful relationships that you can be part of, and if you're traveling, safety to you, but let's don't miss an opportunity, as I talked about last week, to share with someone while we celebrate and the good news that we have. Today, I want to bring you a message that I've entitled, A Christmas Crisis. A Christmas crisis. Have you ever experienced a crisis at Christmas? And when we think of the word crisis, it could be something, devastating, down to something that's almost funny of a crisis. I once spent 4 hours on a Christmas morning at an emergency vet. I will tell you, you'd be surprised how many of your fellow neighbors will be around at an emergency vet on Christmas. I thought I would be the only one, surely, and I walked into a room full of people on Christmas Day. There's all kinds of experiences we can have on Christmas, and I want us to look at what I would kind of call the first Christmas crisis as recorded through the eyes of Joseph. Now we have a lot of songs about Mary. Okay, we have a lot of things about Mary, but not a lot about Joseph. There's no Joseph, did you know, songs, you know, any, I mean, let me just say this, can I throw this in? I think this is how we're going to, as believers today in our century, we're going to recognize Mary. She's going to be the one in heaven that says, her t-shirt says, "Yes, I knew." Okay, Luke chapter 2, yes, I got it, okay? So, but Joseph's not a lot there. But yet we have in our passage today recorded Joseph going through a crisis. He's going through not only a crisis of a circumstance, but I believe Joseph is also going to go through a crisis of belief. Meaning, will he believe what God has revealed to him? Will he reveal in his life? Will he be obedient to what God's told him to do? So today, maybe you're in a crisis of circumstance. I pray that you will understand that God speaks to us in the midst of a circumstance. Maybe today you're in a crisis of belief. And God has you here not by chance to hear a message of what he has done for you and that you can be obedient to him and surrender your life to him. I want to begin in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to see this Christmas crisis. It says, the birth of Jesus came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, I'm going to stop for just a second because as I'm reading today from the Christian Standard Version, Sister Standard Bible, is we hear that word engaged, and I just want to make sure you understand the magnitude of that word. See, in our society, in our lives, you know, a couple who they're engaged together. But right up until the time of the ceremony, one of them could walk away. You could have the runaway bride that runs out or the runaway groom that runs out. And until that has been signed, the license, there would be no need for a legal process to dissolve that engagement. That was not the case in the life of the Jewish people. When you read in your text engagement or betrothal, it was a legally binding thing that has taken place. So that's why you wonder, well, if they were engaged, why would Joseph have to pursue a divorce if he did not want to be with Mary? It's because it was legally binding. That was the nature of their relationship, but it was not yet, they had not yet come together physically because they were not technically married. So it was deeper and it was different than what we experience today. So it said that she was engaged to Joseph. It was during this time, it was discovered before they had come together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus." You ought to underline this clause, "because he will save his people from their sins." Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, and this is Isaiah chapter 7. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Today, I want us to look at three aspects of the crisis that Joseph was going through. It was a crisis of circumstance, but in many ways, we're going to see it was also a crisis of belief. And he had a choice. Would he be obedient to what God revealed, or would he simply walk away? Let's look at these aspects. First of all, we see the agonizing crisis of Joseph. The agonizing crisis in verses 18 and 19, we hear that Joseph and Mary are engaged. But Joseph finds out, and we're not told how Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant. She went away for several months to be with Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Did she begin to show? Did she just come out and tell Joseph, "I need to tell you about a vision that I've had. I'm going to give birth. I'm going to have a son." And Joseph knew that he had not been with her physically, so he knew that he was not the father of the child. Well, you could imagine the crisis that all of a sudden is in Joseph's life. I mean, we wonder, well, why wasn't he quick to believe her? What would you have been quick to believe her? All of a sudden, you know you have not been with her, but now she is saying, "I am pregnant, and here is what the angel Gabriel has told me." So he begins to process all of this, and he's a righteous man, so he wants to do what is right, what would be biblical, but he also wants to show compassion. I think it shows the deep love that he had for Mary. See, it says that he didn't want to publicly shame her. So he was in a secret way going to pursue a divorce. Your Bible may say that he sought to put her away. Understand this, church. Not only could he have put her away, he could have seen her put to death. But yet he had love and compassion for her. And I'm sure it consumed him. I'm sure it was one of those things. Maybe you've gone through a crisis and you lay down at night and that crisis is there. You think that a few hours of sleep may make it go away, but you wake up and the crisis is there. Throughout the day, every time he looked at Mary, the crisis was there. But it's in that crisis we begin to see a glimpse of God's amazing grace. Because it's in the midst of the crisis, it's the second point of the message, we see an angelic clarification for Joseph. God pours out his grace by sending an angel in verses 20 through 23. Now, we're not told who the angel is. Now, if we go to Luke, we know that Gabriel was who came and spoke to Mary, but that's not recorded here. Some people assume that it is, but we're not told that. It just says an angel of the Lord. Now, some believe that when you see that, especially in the Old Testament, where it talks about the angel of the Lord, it's a picture of the pre-incarnate Christ, that it's actually the second person of the Trinity that is coming to be the messenger of the triune God, and we're not told that either. So it could have been any of the heavenly host. It just says an angel of the Lord in a dream comes to Joseph. And notice what he says. Almost every time you see an angel come to a person, the first thing out of their mouth is this: don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? Because of the power of the angelic order. There's fear. They would make Roman soldiers fall to their knees in fear. But notice in the dream here, the angel doesn't just say, don't be afraid. He says, don't be afraid to take Mary. And what he's saying here is, don't be afraid, because understand this, Joseph, you are thinking of putting her away because you think she has been unfaithful. And the truth is, she's been chosen because she's faithful. And what she has told you about the Spirit of God coming, that is exactly what has taken place. So you don't have to be afraid. So don't put her away. Don't divorce her in secret. But as a matter of fact, we have a task. You are going to be part of the really prophetic message of Christ. You are going to be part of the fulfillment of prophecy, because you are going to name him the name given by God. You are going to name him Jesus. And you're going to be a part of his life. And you're going to see him grow up. And we don't see Joseph mentioned during the earthly ministry of Jesus, especially at the end of his life. So we don't know at what time. Most believe that Joseph has died at some point. But yet you are going to be part, for however long, you are going to be part of seeing the Messiah come into the world. And here's why he's going to come. He's going to come to save his people from their sins. So we've seen an agonizing crisis of circumstance. But we see God address that with an angelic clarification. But let's look thirdly at an amazing commitment by Joseph. An amazing commitment by Joseph. But I don't want you to throw away the word crisis, because now just Joseph is entering into a different crisis. And it's what Henry Blackaby would call a crisis of belief. If you were here the two different times that we went through experiencing God, he talked about a crisis of belief. When we come to that point when we decide, I am either going to yield to what God is asking me to do, or I'm going to turn away and do what I desire to do. That's exactly where we find Joseph here. He has worked out a plan. He has worked out a way, and his plan is to divorce her in secret. And you wonder, were there people speaking into his life saying, run away now. Get out while you can. She hasn't been faithful to you. There were people whispering that into his ear. But yet God says to him, don't be afraid. For you should not be afraid to take her, because she has been faithful. But I want us to think about these words, that he's coming to save his people from their sins. See, I'm not sure how many of those in Jerusalem, how many of those that were living during this time fully understood what the Messiah would bring. See, if you look at the history of Israel, there had been a number of saviors. In some ways, Moses was a savior. He saved the people. He led them out of captivity. In many ways, David, the greatest of the kings, was a savior. He saved his people from pagan nations. In some ways, Gideon was a savior. But all of them God used in the middle of a circumstance. Notice the Messiah is different. It's while God may have used others to bring about a relief from a circumstance, now God is saying, I am sending forth my son, the Messiah, and what is his purpose? His purpose is to save the people from their sins, something no one else could do. So when Joseph, you see this commitment, because I love the last two verses, verses 24 and 25, when Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her. But he did not have relations with her until she gave birth to a son. And then he completes what he's been asked to do. He named the child Jesus. Now, it doesn't record that Joseph came out of his dream and he began to write, well, what are the pros and the cons of this? He didn't gather people around him and say, well, hey, here's what I dreamed, but hey, was it the pizza I ate last night? You know, what should I really do this? See, that's what we tend to do. We try to get a public opinion. We throw it out there on social media. We wonder what we should do. And I love the immediate obedience here. I love the obedience in Joseph's life. He was a righteous man who wanted to be compassionate. And when God spoke into his life, immediately he says that he took Mary, he married her, and then he named the child exactly what the angel had said. He named him Jesus, which means Savior. Savior of his people. But understand in this, Joseph also see, and Mary would see in Luke also, they would see their need for a Messiah. They saw their need for a Savior. See, Mary and Joseph weren't just kind of grafted in because they were part of the plan. See, Mary would record this even as the infant Jesus was there. She called him my Savior and my Lord. Here, Joseph understands that the one to come is not just going to be a Messiah that brings about a relief from the Roman circumstance, but he's going to be a savior of the people, and Joseph knew he needed that just as much as anyone else. So we see him surrender to the plan of God. Read this week something Charles Spurgeon wrote, and I believe Joseph would, we could see him saying these words. Spurgeon wrote this, my first link to Jesus is not my riches, but my need. He came not to admire my beauty, but to remove my deformity. Not to reward my virtue, but to remove my sin. That's exactly the crisis of belief that Joseph would be in. God has revealed his plan. God has revealed that I'm part of that plan. And God has revealed that he is sending forth a Savior. And I need that Savior. Again, Joseph had the opportunity. He could have woken up. He could have listened to others. He could have just kind of, well, let me process it. And he had a choice to either be obedient or to walk away. Now, if he would have walked away, would it have thwarted the the messianic plan. I don't think we can read that. But what an incredible blessing he would have missed to have been a part of the messianic fulfillment, to be part of the Savior coming into the world. And he could have missed it. But yet he listened to what God revealed, and he was able to embrace not only a son, but a Savior. I would just ask as we gather right before Christmas. Now, I've wondered this week as I've worked and I've read, who would come today to be in a crisis of belief? You know, we could probably go row by row and find a crisis of a situation. You know, one of our deacons having surgery tomorrow for cancer. Another one of our deacons and ushers having surgery this week. You know, we could go row by row and find a crisis that someone's facing this Christmas. But I've wondered about the people who are in a crisis of belief. There's something about Christmas that draws you to a church that maybe if no other time in the year you come. And I'm glad you're here. Please don't read into that I'm belittling that. No, I'm not. I'm glad you're here. But you hear a message about a choice of obedience to God as he has you here to hear a message that he gave his life for you. The choir sang it. You are the reason that he came. You're the reason that he suffered and died. But he did it willingly. And God led you here. And right now, the crisis of belief is, will you walk away or will you surrender? Will you surrender to what Christ has done and what he's calling you to do? Or will you simply walk away and miss an incredible blessing? Because if you want to know the joy, the real joy of Christmas, spend your first Christmas knowing you're a new creation in Christ. And knowing that no matter what you've done in your life, it's been forgiven and cleansed and been brought under the sacrifice of Jesus. Spend that Christmas. Enjoy that celebration. Enjoy that relationship where you look at a family member and say, now I'm more than just a brother or sister. I'm a brother and sister in Christ. Experience that. Maybe God has you here because a crisis of belief is what he's going to use to not only change your life, to change your circumstance, but to change your eternity. My prayer is that you would be obedient to his offer to you today to come to him. Let's pray together. Father, I'm thankful today. I'm thankful for how you reveal truth. Lord, you used an angel in Joseph's life. You've revealed yourself through your word. You reveal yourself into our lives through prayer. And Father, I'm thankful that you've revealed that you came, Lord, to be a Savior, but not just a Savior of circumstance. But a Savior for sin. Father, I pray for the person that's now in a crisis of belief. And Lord, they want to know more about you. Maybe they want to surrender. And Lord, they're afraid. That's okay. Lord, give them the strength to reach out to someone, reach out to a pastor, even during an invitation. Lord, find out what it means to embrace you, to walk with you, to be forgiven by you. Lord, I pray for believers as we gather here. Lord, we're reminded of Christmas and reminded of the joy of Christmas. But Lord, reminded of the task. And Lord, will we be obedient? We have a choice to be obedient to your call to us, to share your message with others. Lord, we have a choice not to be. So, Father, no matter what, Lord, help us to be obedient. If it's a call to salvation, I pray for obedience. If it's a call to tell, I pray for obedience. Lord, as we respond to you, be glorified. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand together. Andy's going to come and lead us. Pastors are here. If we can pray with you about a need in your life, about a hurt, the altar's open. If you want to pray for a loved one that you might have an opportunity to share with, you know, pray with someone today. Pray right where you are. But be obedient today. And again, if you're wrestling with, you know, this truth of what God's done for you, I invite you to come. I invite you to grab a pastor by the hand and just let us share deeper what it means to walk with God, to walk with Christ, to be forgiven, and to be able to say he's not only just the Jesus, he's not only just, you know, the second person of the Trinity, but he's my Savior. Amen. I pray that you would be able to say that today.
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries at Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call, 919-847-4477. Thanks again and have a blessed day.